This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly UFC show in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. My name is Alex Vella, and joining me to preview UFC Fight Night at the Apex, once again, headlined by Alexa Grasso versus Vivian Araujo, is the former MMA fighter and pro bettor, Ryan Bruno. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. How are you?
Very good, mate. Good to be back. Luckily, no more breaks now for quite a while. I think we're on every card for 6 weeks in a row now. So we'll certainly have our work cut out for us. But yeah, at least we'll have a betting preview pretty consistently for everyone out there every week, mate. How was your week off?
Yeah, it was all right, man. It's all right. I always like having the fights to watch and the fights to bet on each week. So, yeah, and like I say, it does feel sometimes like there's something missing. But, there's always a bit of boxing or obviously football to watch. So, yeah, kept me busy still.
Yeah, there's some huge cards coming up, especially if you include Anderson Silva and Jake Paul into that fold. There's lots of
I've got my bet on that already. So yeah.
Oh wow, here we go. Love it. All right, mate. Let's get started on this week's card. You're gonna start things off as always, mate. Sam Hughes versus Piera Rodriguez.
Yeah, so this should be a good fight. I'm looking forward to this. Sam Hughes has been someone that I've backed a few times recently, and she's come good after having a really rough start. But Piera Rodriguez is quite the prospect. She's 8-0. She's unbeaten. She made a debut in a last fight in the UFC against Kay Hansen, and that was really quite a big step up in competition from what she'd fought previously. But she did look very good in that fight. Actually, she showed that she's a well-rounded fighter. Physically, she's pretty strong. She had a pretty rough round, first round against Kay Hansen. Hansen took the first round, and she showed, despite the fact she's an unbeaten fighter and she's kind of flattened most of the competition that she's had, that she can come back from losing that first round. And then she started implementing her own grappling, which was quite surprising because Hansen is quite a good grappler. She's just very well rounded. There's nothing to me that looks exceptional about her. She's got good hands. She's quite quick. Like I say, physically strong. She did well in the clinch against Hansen. She's got some nice leg kicks, and she's favoured in this fight. And I think a big reason for that is that unbeaten record. The market does tend to really like these unbeaten fighters, and I still think just having one fight in the UFC, you can't really say that she's. I don't know if she's the level that Sam Hughes is actually might be, but there's a question mark for me. Sam Hughes has had 5 fights in the UFC now. She did have a really rough start. She was fed to Tisha Torres on short notice, and she got stopped in that fight. Then she fought Luana Pinheiro, who's a good fighter as well. So she has, even in the losses, she's been fighting top level competition, but she's just shown that she's really physically and mentally very tough. If there's one attribute you can say about her, she is really, really tough. I mean, I was watching her fight against Loma Luke Boon Mee today, who's a good Thai fighter, who's a good Muay Thai fighter and a good MMA fighter all around. And in that third round, she was, despite the fact that she'd taken quite a beating, she was really putting the pressure on. She was backing her up and she was landing shots. And, I really like Sam Hughes. Like, she's got that tough kind of grit. She's got cardio to match it as well. She reminds me a little bit of John Fitch in that she's got this unbreakable will, and she's just going to carry on coming forward. I mean, in the Nunes fight, which was 2 fights ago against Estela Nunes, who was really lighting her up in that first round, piecing her up. And, she's a very good athlete, Nunes, and she's very good on the feet. But Hughes just kept coming forward, and she eventually broke with that pressure. And then in the last fight against Elise Reed as well, she kind of continued from almost the second and third round against Nunes, and she just put that pressure on from the start, and she broke her. I think it was the second round. She finished her off. So I think that Hughes is quite... was it the third round? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Hughes is good in this spot. I mean, you can get it plus 140, and I think this is quite an even fight, to be honest. Like, She does the simple things very well. She's got a nice 1-2, a nice jab. She throws the occasional leg kick in, but she's going to push the pace. And something we did see with Rodriguez in the Dana White's Contender Series fight, where she fought the Brazilian lady, Machado, I think it was. She did gas in that fight. And I think Hughes, she can weaponize the cardio. She's a former track athlete. And now she's getting a grappling and a wrestling going. She can really implement that. And I think she's going to push the pace. And like I say, I think she can wear Rodriguez down and make this a gritty and close fight. So, yeah, I think Sam Hughes plus 140. I really like that bet.
Yeah, the thing I love about Sam Hughes is ever since she's gone to Fortis MMA, I think it is, with Saif Saoud, is you can. I think I noticed in her third last fight, I can't remember who that was against. She lost against Pinheiro, I think. She didn't have him in his corner, but you can see the last two fights where she's had him in his corner. Her progress has been quite significant. Yes, she's probably fighting lesser competition, but she's, following out a game plan. And I think I agree with you, mate. If she can really wear on Rodriguez here, get her up against the fence, just make it an ugly fight. I think, Rodriguez could have some success early. She probably is overall the better MMA fighter, but when you factor in the cardio and the fact that Hughes is, making some progress, I think Hughes, like you said, plus 140s is a pretty good bet. So, yeah. I'll enjoy watching that one. I think it's another one too. If you are live betting, it could be a good bet after round one, because Piera, could be the better fighter in round one. She's got pretty dangerous striking, and she's got decent grappling too. So it could be a spot after round one, if Piera does gas. So
I think so, because Hughes is very consistent as well. Like, she's not very explosive. She's not, she's not the greatest athlete there, but kind of like John Fitch, you know that she's going to be there to embrace the grind, and she'll do it for three rounds. So yeah, she's a good, like you say, after the first round, if she's, let's say she's plus 200, plus 220, something like that, then yeah, that's a great bet.
Yeah. All right, cool, mate. There's one locked in for this week. I'm going to go to my bet. I feel shameful that I'm producing a bet for this fight, but Pete Rodriguez versus Mike Jackson. In terms of UFC caliber fights, this is probably right down the bottom. Maybe not. I think Pete Rodriguez is pretty decent, but Mike Jackson is certainly not even close to UFC caliber. He's 37 years old. He's got a record of 1-1. That is just something you will probably never see in the UFC ever again, let alone have seen it in the UFC for, over a decade. He was kind of brought in to fight CM Punk as kind of if you want to call it a setup fight for CM Punk, you can, but it probably wasn't in the end. But I think they tried to find someone that was kind of on his same level and didn't exactly work out. But that's the kind of level we're talking here for Mike Jackson. And since that fight against CM Punk, he's only had one fight. So CM Punk fight was in 2018, I believe. And then he's gone and fought Dean Barry earlier this year. And Dean Barry, I think, had a record of 3-4-1 going into that fight. He's also not UFC caliber. He's already been cut after he eye gouged. it was just the biggest mess of a fight you'll ever see after eye gouging Mike Jackson. And Dean Barry was absolutely dominating Jackson. He was very, very close to getting a finish had he not eye gouged Jackson, which is just the most bizarre thing ever. I don't know why, how it happened, but it happened. Jackson striking defense is pretty terrible. Sticks his chin in the air to evade punches and kind of tries to counter back. And it's not like he's countering back with anything scary either. He doesn't look to have too much power. Whereas on the other hand, you've got Rodriguez, very inexperienced himself. I think his record is 4-1, maybe something like that. But I thought he looked pretty decent against Jack Della Maddalena. I mean, if you're going to have success against Jack Della Maddalena, it's probably through grappling, wrestling, those kind of avenues. Rodriguez doesn't really have those kind of tools. And, he was kind of forced to stand with Jack Della Maddalena. And, if you're forced to strike with someone like him, we're talking about, pure boxing, pure striking. He's probably, in the top 10, 15 in terms of just striking in the UFC's welterweight division. So Very, very tough matchup for your first ever UFC fight. And I thought he looked pretty sharp. I mean, he landed some nice body shots on Jack. He looked reasonably fast, quick. And I mean, to me, he looks levels above Mike Jackson. Yeah. And I think that kind of reflects in the odds. Mike Jackson, I haven't done the conversion to American odds, but he's pretty close to minus 900, I would think, something like that. Actually, I can check that quickly now. He's minus 670, with Bet Rivers. I think that'll get bet in probably even more. So yeah, I think, you know, if Rodriguez was facing someone a little bit easier on your UFC debut, he could have potentially, you know, knocked anyone out, really. He's got huge power, and I think this one will be over very quickly. I think Pete Rodriguez to win in round one. I think I've seen minus 164 at a few bookmakers. Prices aren't out at Bet Rivers, but I would bet that down to minus 200. You could probably even go lower. Pete Rodriguez, I would price him, yeah, around minus 800, minus 900. And yeah, considering he's got lots of power, he's going to be looking for the knockout. Mike Jackson looked terrible in his last fight. So yeah, I think the chances of him winning by round one KO are very, very high. Any thoughts on that one, mate?
No, I pretty much agree. There's a big difference in the levels, isn't there, between them. And like you say, Mike Jackson, you know, at his age and stuff, he's not really a guy that's going to have a long UFC career. I'm surprised he's still even, you know, this is probably the last fight in his contract, I imagine. And I think they're just feeding him to someone, and then I don't imagine we'll see him again. But yeah, I think you're right. I think he gets wiped out pretty quickly.
Yeah. All right, mate. Awesome. You have your second bet here, Misha Cirkunov versus Alonzo Menafield.
Yeah, so you've got Misha Cirkunov coming back up to light heavyweight again after two fights at middleweight, where, to be honest, he didn't look too bad. He did lose both fights, but if you look at the actual performances, they weren't terrible. The first fight against Jotko was fairly close, and then in the second fight, he was doing pretty well against Terman until he got caught in an armbar. So I don't take too much, you know, he didn't take a ton of damage. And I think the main reason that he went down to middleweight is because he'd been knocked out quite a few times at light heavyweight, and he probably thought that you know, he might deal with middleweight power a little bit better, and also that he'd probably be able to implement his grappling. But I think but he didn't look as strong as at middleweight. You know, if you look at his fights in light heavyweight, he fought guys like Glover Teixeira, and he's got wins against like Nikita Krylov, who's a very good light heavyweight fighter. He's beat Ian Kutalaba as well, who's decent. Pat Cummins was a fairly decent wrestler, you know, and he outgrappled all of those guys. So he obviously is a strong guy. So I think going back to light heavyweight is actually going to help him. Especially at his age as well, you know, he's in his mid-30s now, he's 35. So I think not having to take that weight cut anymore is going to benefit him. But he is coming up against a heavy hitter. Alonzo Menafield is built like an NFL player. You know, he's very big, very muscular. He's very explosive for like the first round or the first few minutes. But he's not the most technical guy. He does wing big, winging like right hands, and he's not technically the best guy when he gets into grappling situations. He tends to rely on explosion and power rather than technique. And you saw that in a William Knight fight. You know, both guys are big and strong, but there wasn't a ton of technique there. And if he gets sloppy, you know, Cirkunov will wrap something up. Cirkunov is a very good grappler. Like I say, he's got submission wins against Krylov and Patrick Cummins and Jimmy Crute as well, who's a very good grappler. So, you know, he is a high-level guy. He's a black belt. And I think if he can survive the first few minutes of this fight, if he can drag this fight into the second, third round, if he can kind of push Menafield up against the cage. And I mean, he's not dead on his feet either. You know, he does have some decent striking. Like in that Krylov fight before he wrapped up the choke, he did land a nice left hand. So, you know, there is that. It's one of those bets where I think there's definitely value on him. You can get him to win by submission for about, I've seen plus 350 to plus 400 being kind of put up with a few other books. So I imagine Bet Rivers will have a similar price. And if he can survive the first few minutes, I think that's really, really live. So yeah, I think Cirkunov's a good bet here.
Yeah, it's one of those hard ones to price up, isn't it? Because if Cirkunov can get through the first probably 3-4 minutes, you're like, it almost flipped, the fight completely flips in his favor. but what are the chances of him getting through those, you know, first few minutes? I mean, to me, you know, backing Alonso or Menafield at, what is he priced at, -220
maybe, something around that, I think.
It's like you're essentially betting on him to get an early finish. So I think if you wanted to bet Menafield, your probably best avenue is to maybe bet him to win by knockout or win early in the first round and a half, maybe. I mean, it's a bit of a tricky one to bet, but I agree. I mean, even if you just look at their records, mate, like Misha Cirkunov has fought way better competition than Alonso Menafield. Like looking at Alonso's win, sorry. I mean, he hasn't, his best win was Paul Craig, I would say. And that was about 4 years ago. Since then, he's really not beaten anyone of note, and he lost to William Knight. I kind of thought he won the fight, but still, like if you're going to a close decision with William Knight, it's pretty worrying at this, you know, at this stage in his career. So, yeah, I agree.
He's not a young guy either. He himself is like 35. So, you know, with him relying on that explosion and his athleticism, he's probably a little bit past his prime now, I'd say. So that, you know, he's going to slow down as well. So that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, no, I like it, mate. I think any side with Misha Cirkunov in this fight is definitely the value player. You couldn't really warrant any kind of play on Alonso except for an early finish. It's a bit of a sketchy one, I think, in terms of the money line odds. So yeah, we'll lock that one in, mate. I will now take us to the co-main event, Cub Swanson versus Jonathan Martinez. This should stay on the feet for the most part. Sorry, they're both good strikers. I would assume Martinez will win the minutes with his kicking game, which is, I think it's pretty elite, his kicking game. I like the way he mixes the kicks up, especially his leg kicks are hugely damaging. That's kind of his main weapon. And you've seen over his last three fights, most of his opponents have just had a real problem with that. And Cub's got a record of struggling with leg kicks, especially his last few fights against Pineda and his second last one against Giga Chikadze. I mean, it's a bit harsh to say he's had a problem with Giga Chikadze's kicks because he's kind of the best in the division at it, but you know, still it kind of shows that it is something he's struggling with over his career. Cub dropping down to 135 at 38, not the greatest sign for me. So I kind of see him, I struggle to see how he lasts three rounds with Martinez's kicks. I know Martinez is not a huge finisher, but Cub, the thing I love about Cub is he's going to bring the fight massively. He almost welcomes the kicks so that he can counter with big punches. Swanson's got big power too, and Martinez has been dropped plenty of times in his career, especially recently, by much less strikers in Alejandro Perez. He was finished by Davey Grant, who's a decent striker, but it still shows that he just has this propensity to be like controlling a fight with his kicks, and then he'll just be countered massively, and the fight can sometimes switch on a dime. So my bet here is either fighter to win by KO at +155. I think Swanson's chances of winning this fight, I'm not sure what a decision win looks like for Swanson. I find it hard to see what that would look like. I think his chances heavily weigh on a knockout. And then for Martinez, if he's doing well in the fight, I think he's probably going to ruin Swanson's legs. And wouldn't even be surprised if this fight goes past the first, second round that you could see a finish by leg kicks or... you know, he's a dangerous striker, you know, punches, kicks, head kick, body kicks. I could see him finishing Cub that way too. So, yeah, I think this is actually quite a big edge. I would have this, you know, close to even money. So +155, I think is a very good bet, mate. I believe you have also a bet you like on this fight.
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of what you said. Basically, at 38, with Cub going down, I don't, you know, that is kind of a strange decision, especially when he's coming off that win against Elkins, where he looked pretty decent. But I do think his power will probably transition down there. He does hit pretty hard. And like you say, Martinez has been rocked. Like, Perez isn't a particularly big fighter, a big power puncher, yet he dropped him and had him in a lot of trouble. And I think Cub is very capable of landing something big. Like you say, I think Martinez will be landing those leg kicks and will be controlling the fight and throwing feints up and just being a lot more active. But it only takes one shot from Cub to wobble him. And Cub, you know, he's shown in his last few fights that he's still got that finishing instinct, even at, you know, as his age progresses and he gets closer to 40. So, yeah, I like Swanson to win by KO. That's him plus 500 banded around quite a few bookmakers. So it's when crazy. Bet Rivers do open, yeah, when Bet Rivers do open that price, I think that's good because you're looking at his money line and it's plus 175. So, you know, his likeliest win condition is that KO. So I'd much rather be on that than anything else. So I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, if you take the vig away on Swanson, his chances of winning the fight are around 33, 35%. And I'd say at least 20, 25% of that is probably by KO. It'd be weird to see him win any other way. Over three rounds of Martinez would be, he'd have to, I think, somehow rock Martinez multiple times and Martinez survive to win a decision, I would think.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking similar. Yeah, like that's what a decision would look like. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree, mate. I think Swanson KO is a huge price. And yeah, I like that, mate. Good stuff. All right. Main event preview. Alexa Grasso versus Vivian Araújo. Grasso on a bit of a hot streak at the moment. I think she's won maybe three or four fights in a row ever since her loss to Carla Esparza. Seems to be making, you know, huge progress fight to fight. Not fighting all that often, but you can see she's making, you know, decent progress each fight. Vivian Araújo coming off a pretty big win against Andrea Lee. She wasn't favored in that fight, but she kind of won in the least Araújo way possible. She went through some major adversity to start with against Lee and then fought through to win a decision, which was not the way I bet Araújo in that fight. It wasn't the way I saw it going, but I'll take the win nonetheless. Yeah, mate, how do you see this fight playing out? It's one of those funny ones where I think if it was three rounds, it would be pretty 50-50. I wouldn't even be surprised if Araújo was favourite. But Alexa Grasso comes into this one. Let me just get the odds. Minus 230, Araújo plus 180. The five rounds makes all the difference, you would think, in this one, mate.
Yeah, so like if this was a three-round fight and you give me that price on Araújo, I'd put a pretty big bet on that. But she is a fighter that does rely, again, on her explosion. You know, she is like, she relies on that kinetic energy. She's constantly moving. She's constantly twitching. But she just keeps her head quite straight up as well. She's kind of got that Muay Thai stance going around. And she doesn't move her head very well. I noticed in the Lee fight, she was catching a lot of shots when she was coming in. And I think Grasso, with her head movement and her boxing and the fluidity of her punches, is going to be able to land. So I think Araújo's best shot to win this fight would be to implement the grappling like she did in that Lee fight. But if she does try and implement the grappling, then she's going to tire herself out quicker. So it's one of them really where I think it's Grasso's fight to lose in a way. I think that Grasso has a lot of the advantages over five rounds and that Araújo, to win this fight, does need to implement a grappling. But then it's kind of that she's got to weigh that risk reward because she knows that she's going to have to go into round four and five unless she can find a finish. And Grasso has shown to be very durable. And she doesn't slow down that much either. So yeah, I favor Grasso in this fight. Not so much that I want to back her at the money line, but I wouldn't want to back Araújo at her money line either. Mm-hmm. If we're just looking to kind of bet something in this fight, I might actually look at playing Grasso to win in round four or five because I think you'll get pretty big odds for that. And I think that'll be pretty live.
Yeah, I think the money line is just about right, isn't it? There's nothing really I see there that's huge value. I was looking to bet Grasso inside the distance, but she doesn't, for me, look like she just doesn't have enough power in her hands. Araújo's pretty decent on the ground, so it's hard to back her. I've actually backed Grasso in her last fight to win inside the distance. She was at fives or sixes, but I should be doing this in American. I was +6500, something like that.
Yeah.
But now you can kind of see those odds have come in a little bit more. And I just, yeah, not sure. To be honest, I didn't really like any bets on this fight. I'd be more looking at, there's two things I like. If you're watching this fight live, potentially backing Grasso, she could lose the first round or two. And you might be able to get plus money on her going into the second and third rounds. Araújo, like you said, relies on explosiveness and she could have success early on. But I could also see Grasso landing some nice counter punches early on too, because Araujo's not really got great striking defense. So, that was the only angle I saw, either live better or pre-match or pre-fight, I should say. I did find a market at Bet Rivers. I believe it's under fight. It's under fight parlays, I think. And you can bet Alexa Grasso to win and over 3.5 rounds at -108. That's kind of the only pre-match bet that I like at the moment, because you've got onside the late finish from Grasso, and you've also got the decision. And decision, I think, currently sits at
220, something like that. Is it? Yeah, I looked at that. So it's not huge numbers, is it? I like that, actually. I like that bet.
So you get the decision, and then you also get the second half of round three and round five. Second half of round four and round five too. So I think that's probably slightly, plus expected value, but yeah, if you were forcing me to have a bet on the fight, it would be that. So, yeah, any thoughts on that one, mate?
No, I agree. Like you say, there could be a live entry spot possibly if Araujo starts well, if she lands a big shot, maybe she gets a takedown, and she wins the first round. You might get a like Grasso at maybe like -120, something like that. There might be an overreaction in the market, so that would be a good spot to jump on. But otherwise, yeah, I like that bet that you just outlined as well. I think there's got to be a little bit of value there.
Yeah, at least something, mate, which is always nice. All right. Yeah.
Small margins, but you got to take them.
Mate, we've gone through some decent bets today, mate. You've outlined quite a few nice ones there. Is there any that are sticking out to you in terms of your favourite of the weekend?
I'll go with Sam Hughes again. I think I've backed her in the last few fights, and she's come good as the underdog, and she's a good fighter to back as the underdog, because you know that she's going to competitively fight for three rounds and she's going to give it her all. So yeah, I'll go with Sam Hughes again.
Good stuff, mate. I think I'll go with either fighter to win by KO, Cub Swanson versus Martinez at +155. I think that's quite a decent edge. So it'll be a fun fight either way. So enjoy all the fights this weekend, everyone. If this is your first time on the YouTube channel, please make sure you subscribe to get alerted to all the great content here at the Bet Rivers Network. You can follow both Ryan and I on Twitter, Ryan at SM Sports Trader and myself at AlexVella_. And we will be back next week for, I would say, probably one of the heaviest promoted cards I've ever seen in UFC history, UFC 280. It's so heavily promoted that prop markets are already out about 5 weeks in advance for this fight, which you'll never see in your life ever again. So, should be a fun one. Islam Makhachev versus Charles Oliveira for the lightweight title. And then you've got TJ and Aljamain. I mean, it's a cracking card, mate. So I'm looking forward to catching up with you next week.
O'Malley and Peter Yan, haven't you? See if O'Malley's kind of at that level. It should be good.
Yeah, it'll be a cracking card, mate. So we'll see you next week.
See you later, man.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Fight Life on the Bet Rivers Network.